I invite you to be seated. I guess I better stand up. I haven't ever done a sermon sitting down. It might be something to try someday. Quick quiz for you. Some of you are real Bible scholars. I've talked with many of you, and some of you are pretty astute. Many of you have a very good Bible knowledge. There might be some Bible Christians here in our gathering, some. But here's a quiz question. How many did Jesus send out in, how many did he send out in the scripture we just heard? Holly just named the controversy. Some say 70, and Neo read it from the Bible. Pia had it on the screen as I had printed it out. It said 72. It's an interesting reality that the original text says 72. Somehow it became tradition that it was 70. And a generation ago, if you'd asked anyone, they would have said 70, the 70 who were sent out. And that tradition hung on so hard that people couldn't let go of it to recognize that it was 72. And one of the reasons we know that the 72 was important is that was the total number of nations in Jesus' world. There were 72 nations in Jesus' world. Do you know how many nations there are today? Around 200. But exactly how many? That's another trick question. Is Taiwan its own nation, or does it belong to China? You see, it's one of those debates back and forth. Who do you count? How do you count them? So round and around and around we go with different questions. How would you like to be one of those sent out? Be kind of fun. Go out into the world and offer Christ. Don't take anything, but what did you take, Neil? What did they say to take? Your sandals? And a tunic, and no extra tunic, just one tunic, wasn't it? Just one. It didn't look like it was terribly prepared. You had to depend upon the charity, the benevolence of others. It was a different time, certainly, but how would you like to be sent to Papua New Guinea? You know Papua New Guinea? The people are a little shorter there, and they're headhunters. How would you like to have been sent there to offer them Christ? That might have been quite a challenge. It would have been a tough thing. Fortunately, missionaries got there. Missionaries had arrived there just before World War II, and they were Christ-centered, and the natives there listened and converted. Amen. World War II came. The Japanese and the Americans were both vying for that area. Some of the American airmen were shot down over the island. The Japanese said, go and help us find these infidels so that we can kill them. And the natives, who the Japanese considered to be primitive and insignificant, kept the men alive. The Japanese did not realize what a formidable people they were, and a strong people and a Christ-centered people. Taking Christ into the world, there's your mission. Papua New Guinea, I could not imagine. You in Tonga might know a little more about that kind of an area, a little more tropical and what have you. From Colorado, I don't know if skiing would apply as a skill to use. But I want us to make some considerations this morning. Consider a moment. Well, let me ask you a question first. How many of you have a phone that you carry with you? How many of you, those are phones that can take pictures or movies? Do you realize how many different movies we could make? Every incident in the world right now is under scrutiny from videos that you can take. And have any of you posted a video that went viral and got millions of hits? Not yet. Neither have I. What if you were there and you saw something and you saw it starting to happen and you caught it on your video camera? And it is an amazing blooper. Someone doing a really dumb thing, and you catch it, and it could go viral, and it'd make a million hits. Would that be cool? You've seen some of those. You probably, if you're connected at all on the internet, if you follow along, even if you just get emails, people send me stuff. Have you seen this? And they share it. Some amazing things. And you look at some of the people and you just have to shake your head. That blooper caught and immortalized now for the world. What if the person who made the blooper was a good friend of yours? Consider for a moment now, this is a dear friend of yours, and they've done something, and you capture it on a video, and it would certainly make a million hits. You would be famous for this. You might even be able to sell it. This is such a grand blooper. But it's a friend, and it would humiliate them at the very least. Consider for a moment. Consider for a moment, would you post that? I want you to consider the Cooper incident. That's my name for it. It's an actual event that occurred in New York. I can't tell you the date. I didn't research it that vigorously, and it doesn't need to be. But there are two Coopers unrelated. Amy Cooper, a white woman with her dog. Christian Cooper, a black man who is out birdwatching. They're in Central Park in an area that is designated for birdwatchers and has strict rules about animals, including dogs must be on a leash and kept close not to disturb the birds. The woman has her dog off leash, and it is just having a great good time. Big dog. I don't recall now. I have seen the video, but the dog cavorting about, and the man says to her, "You need to have your dog on a leash. You're scaring away all of our birds." I don't know how he phrased it, but that was the gist of it. She took offense. She got a hold of the dog by its collar in her hand, and she began to yell at him and tell him to leave her alone and leave her dog alone. And he said, I'm just, and he was filming this at the whole time. He said, "I just wanted to express my concern that we can't birdwatch while all of this is going on." She says, "You can't film me. I didn't give you permission to film me. You're bothering me." She says, "I'm going to call the police." And she does. And she says on the phone, "There's a man, African American. He's got a bicycle helmet. He's recording me and threatening me and my dog." So the police arrive, and they begin to speak to the young man, because she's very careful to point out what she had just said. And he shows them the video. Now the truth comes out that not only is he not threatening her or anything, but she is the one who has escalated. First time I saw the video, I went, "Aha, justice." Isn't that what it feels like? Here's a woman, she was definitely out of bounds. She had transgressed. Didn't we read about keeping ourselves? Isn't that what Pastor Neil was reading about? Or was it Richard that read out of Galatians? Keeping ourselves morally straight. She has transgressed. Consider the satisfaction of seeing her receive justice. Made the evening news. Consider for a moment. He was there when she was sentenced, and he said, I lost the quote, but I'll find it. He said, "I'm not sure that 1 minute of poor decision-making, bad judgment without question, racist response necessarily has to define her completely, you know? She is not evil. She's made poor decisions. She reacted. She transgressed. But here is Christian Cooper being Christian. If we see someone transgressing, it's easy to get on our high horse. It's easiest. I love it when you see something doing something and it's right under a sign saying, "Do not do this." And you want to walk over and say, "Can you read?" Have you ever had that temptation? Maybe I'm the only one that gets tempted to such things. But Christ says, how do we do these things as if these are our beloved ones. Consider, Jesus says, care for your loved ones. And consider, Jesus says that everyone is our loved one. Consider that. Consider what an indictment that is to us and to our responsibilities. Are there opportunities, for grace? Are there opportunities where we might see someone and gently help them in a ways that won't humiliate, drive them away, perhaps even make them more bitter and angry? Consider Nelson Mandela, imprisoned in South Africa for standing up against the white government that was oppressing the black majority of people. He was imprisoned for decades. The same jailer kept him the majority of that time. Consider that he befriended the jailer. They became close friends and remained so till after Nelson Mandela was released, until his death. Here is a man that was jailing him, that was holding him unjustly, and he reached out in kindness. Paul said that in Galatians. Richard read it. He says, bear one another's burdens. We see other people who are off and yet are able to love them back. I don't have the details, didn't have time to find it, but it struck me of a woman who talked about the civil rights era, and one of the people in her community, a quite esteemed man, was one of the leaders of the Ku Klux Klan. She virulently opposed that movement, and she talked to him, and over time, gently and caringly, he resigned from the Klan, and he apologized for his behavior. That gentleness, that's part of what Christ is about. The longer I live, the clearer I see God at work among us. All around, I see it in places and in incidents. I see it in videos. I see it in people doing wonderful, benevolent things to do benevolent things, to do good things. And sometimes I hear people denying God, and I want to get my hackles up and begin to argue with them and convince them otherwise. And even though I am sure that I know of a loving God, I know that I must be gentler and gentler as I reach out to them. How do we do these things in gentleness? Consider those, if you will. Consider a really bad guy in the Bible. His name was Saul. He glorified in persecuting Christians. And Saul becomes Paul, the apostle of the New Testament. Consider. Now, did Jesus gently confront Paul? He blinded him on the road. He blinded him, knocked him down. That might seem a little bit intense, but with Paul, you might need that kind of intensity just to get his attention. And it is also Christ doing that work. That is not our style, or that is not our calling. But here is someone. Consider Saul redeemed to become Paul. And finally, when you see an injustice being done and you feel like perhaps they've gotten away with, perhaps this will never, it is just infuriating and you're grumbling and gritting your teeth, pause a moment and remember, God is not mocked in human history. That was in Galatians again. God is not mocked. All justice will be ultimately administered by the Lord God. Consider what grace and how grateful we can be to have the perfect judge. Amen? Amen.